Away we go on a Monday edition, Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strope with you from the Gerber Law Offices, One Call Atzel Studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, here and ready to go on time. Unlike Sunday Karma yesterday, we can get to that in a moment. Josh DiMaggio is not here on time per usual, but that's okay. He is sitting down right now. Will Summers is here with a fresh haircut. And Hunter Vaughn back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Tons to get to from the weekend. NBA Finals are in the books. The Oklahoma City Thunder, your NBA champion for the first time in their history since moving to Oklahoma City. So congratulations to them. A historic season for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. A sad run, end of the run at least, for a team I don't cheer for in the Indiana Pacers, as Tyrese Haliburton officially confirmed now. Tore his Achilles in the first quarter of last night's Game 7. Likely meaning he will miss the entirety of next season, which stinks for the Pacers, but what a run by them. I mean, they were underdogs in like every game they played, and to force Game 7 in the NBA Finals was a really fun series. So, tons to get to with that. Caleb Williams making a ton of headlines, the Bears quarterback, over the weekend for all the wrong reasons. We will get to that at some point, and then we will talk a little Brewers and officially launch, with 4 days remaining in phase one of All-Star voting, the Salvastar. I'm still working on what the title is, but our Sal Frelick campaign to get him in the All-Star game, because frankly, he deserves it. So we'll talk all about that. And of course, big game coming up Wednesday at AmFam Field between Jacob Mizorowski and Paul Skeens. So all still ahead of Mr. Irrelevant. Joshy, good to see you again. Saw plenty of you this weekend. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I saw too much of you, to be frank. 3 hours in the heat.
That was tough. I was sick of you, too.
It's a privilege to be on the Summerfest Saturday shows. I'm happy to be there. But your patience will wear thin with anybody when it's 100 degrees heat index.
Completely fair. I don't even think it was my fault.
No. No, it had nothing to do with you.
And I was irritated with you, yeah. And it wasn't your fault. Right. I mean, it was just like we're both wearing black clothing and sweating. I bought a $32 white t-shirt just to walk home in.
Yeah, I dressed as light as possible.
And it still wasn't enough.
No. There was nothing we could do.
I don't know if they frown upon Speedos at Summerfest, but I certainly
saw some people in Speedos.
Society just frowns upon them.
Yeah, fair point by Hunter. Plenty of people just wearing like swimsuits at Summerfest on Saturday night. It was, but I mean, it was 100 degrees outside. I can't blame anybody. So, warm weekend, but it was a fun one. Saw you at a show Friday. Obviously, we did the show together Saturday. After the show Saturday.
Mm-hmm. The real story.
Dan and Becky. We got a tweet, and we discussed this on our show on Saturday. We got a tweet Friday night or early Saturday morning. I saw it Saturday morning. I don't know when it was tweeted.
I think it was Friday night.
It was the first thing I saw when I woke up on Saturday. And it was a tweet that said something around the lines of, Dan the man plus Alex Stroff plus Josh DiMaggio equals beers at Summerfest. Brewskis at Summerfest, excuse me. It was Brewskis. Dan the man we are referring to is Will Summers' father. Josh and I enjoyed an adult beverage following our show on Saturday afternoon with Will's parents, and Will was not in sight. Will was not with us.
It
was
10:45 p.m. June 20th.
Okay, so I missed it Friday night.
Yep.
Saw it Saturday morning. Will, your parents bought us beers. We enjoyed a libation with your parents on the Summerfest grounds. We talked a lot about you. Actually, mostly, if not all, positive.
I think, yeah, for the most part. I gave you some compliments. I complimented them on raising a fine young man.
Yep, as did I. They gave Josh a lot of credit for being under his tutelage.
For expanding your vocabulary.
And what a great mentor he's been. And every time they would compliment him on his mentorship of you, they'd be like, oh, yeah, and you too, Strofe. it was very funny. And your dad, by the way, huge fan of the nickname you came up with for Mr. Relevant listeners, MIA. Mm-hmm. He kept self-referring to himself as a member of the MIA.
He did.
Which was fantastic.
He might be the leader of the MIA.
He might be. Yeah. He was great. So your parents, we enjoyed our time with them. What did you hear from your parents about their time with us?
It was a lot of the same things you guys said. They said it was awesome getting to talk to you. Like I said before, my dad has been very much looking forward to meeting you guys. So he was pumped. I saw him on Friday night and he was super excited.
Good. I'm glad.
Asking me what type of beverages you guys would like. all that good stuff.
And you gave the correct answer of cold.
Cold beverage.
It was especially nice with the 100 degree heat index.
Oh, yeah.
Having that right after
show. That went down smooth.
So that was a much added pleasure there. I also really enjoyed your father trying to sneak in some of the vocabulary words that you've learned that you brought into the end of the shows, sort of as your segment. I think he probably had been planning some of those for a couple days, trying to work them out.
He at one point said, "Here we are, sans Will."
Yeah.
And it made me laugh very hard.
I mean, where do you think I get it from?
Yeah, quirkiness certainly was not a secret.
It did make me laugh. I heard, I listened to a part of the show, and Josh said that he was rolling with a posse, too.
He was.
Yeah.
He had a crew.
And they were yelling at us. Mean things, but yelling just stuff.
Yeah, which is always a pleasure when we're out on the town, especially those Summerfest shows, because we're right on a walkway, so people often don't realize we're doing radio. I think in this case, they did realize we were doing radio. But Dan the Man, self-aware, he knew we did a segment about Dan the Man earlier in the show. So it was all in all 10 out of 10 contribution by him and his posse, and great meeting them. And, you know, they've raised an all right kid. So
that's awesome. Maybe I should just never show up to the interactions between you and my parents. It sounds like it went good, and I came out of it smelling pretty good too. So
yeah, I think everybody looks good. Everybody feels good.
So everyone won.
Everyone won, which is rare when Joshy and I are both involved. Because usually I lose.
Yeah.
I do hope to keep up the tradition of seeing your parents at Summerfest. I imagine Strofe and I will be on the lineup next year as well. They're welcome to come up another Saturday, because we'll be doing it this Saturday as well.
We will.
But yeah, it was. I look forward to hopefully seeing them again, and hopefully maybe this time we can stay a little bit longer. Because at that point in the day, Strofe and I were ready to go.
I was cashed. Yeah, I was a beer, and I had to hit the road. I have to go get a shower. I took three showers on Saturday. I took one in the morning.
Yep.
I took one after I got home from our show. I went back to Summerfest Saturday night. I took one when I got home.
Yeah, it was a lot of sweat.
I as you guys know, I'm not an athlete. I don't participate in tons of athletics.
No.
I play pickleball a few times a month, but I never get as sweaty as I was on Saturday from walking 1 mile each way. It was brutal. It was brutal, but it was a good weekend overall, the opening weekend of Summerfest. Obviously, the weekend ends last night with the NBA Finals, Game 7. And look, those, you know, it's one of the oldest cliches in sports and sports broadcasting. The best two words in sports are Game 7. And what this NBA playoffs was, and ultimately what that NBA Finals series was, it was so deserving of a Game 7. And obviously that, unfortunately, comes to a halt very early in Game 7 when Tyrese Halliburton goes down in the first quarter and clearly in a ton of pain and can't put pressure on his leg. It went from calf strain to torn Achilles, which is becoming more and more common, but ultimately, that took a little bit of the air out of the balloons of that one. I think it, oddly enough, was a good thing that game was in Oklahoma City, because that crowd would have been awful in Indiana after Tyrese went down. The energy was high, but it was all thunder, but still striking distance, because we've seen what Indiana was capable of all postseason long, and that was unbelievable comebacks. And even without Tyrese, it felt like that game was still in reach for them for most of it. But ultimately, the Thunder come out on top, and they build up a lead that's too big in the final couple minutes and are able to hang on for their first NBA championship. So props to SGA, props to the Thunder on that title. I mean, SGA is in the record books as one of the all-time seasons, right? Winning the MVP, being the regular season points per game leader, winning an NBA title, winning the Finals MVP. It's super rare era. I know Michael Jordan did it. I know Shaq did it. I know Kareem did it way back in 1971 when he was Lou Alcindor with the Bucks. But it's super rare era for SGA. So cool for him. Cool for the Thunder. Really fun NBA postseason. Really fun Finals series as the Oklahoma City Thunder ultimately win. But my head obviously doesn't go to the Thunder or even the Pacers when it comes to the conclusion of the NBA postseason. It goes straight to the Milwaukee Bucks. So, as we do in these parts, Joshy, my very first move last night was, okay, let's see next season's odds. Rather than the number, right, the plus number of the odds, where do you think in the NBA the Bucks rank? This is according to our friends at Potawatomi Sportsbook. where do you think the Bucks rank out of the 30 teams in the NBA for odds to win the championship next season?
16th.
Really good guess. 17th.
Wow.
17th.
That's known ball right there, brother.
That's known ball. They rank 16th in the NBA, or excuse me, the ESPN's way too early power rankings, but they are 17th at plus 8,000 at Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
The team above them is what?
16th? Or who?
Well, I'm just asking, what are their odds at plus 16?
Like, as all right, the 60, team? I think they're plus 7,500.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to know like how, because sometimes there's like cliffs, and they'll kind of tier teams where teams will be all pretty similar. They'll have three or four teams. I didn't know if there was gaps, like considerable amounts. But 16 is not where you want to be.
No, and neither 17 where the Bucks end up. But so yeah, plus 8,000. Excuse me. No, 16th is the Detroit Pistons at plus 6,000. So significantly better odds.
Yeah, that's a decent jump.
And then above the Pistons, there's a ton of plus 400 or 4,000s, bunch of plus 2,500s. Yeah. And then obviously you get down to the Thunder, actually plus 200 at Pottawatomie Sportsbook for repeat already. Cavaliers, Rockets, Knicks, and Nuggets ran at the top five in odds.
Just from a gambling aspect, after we saw, and maybe I'm not giving enough credit to the Pacers, but after we saw the way the Pacers handled them, don't you sort of feel like that team might have gotten a good run out for their championship? Not that it wasn't earned. Obviously, you have to play the games. Mm-hmm. But we certainly thought there were teams at multiple parts of the season that were much better than the Pacers. The Pacers were playing their best basketball, certainly.
At the right time.
Yes. Yeah. And that stuff does matter. We see it happen in all sports where a team sort of comes out of nowhere and then looks unstoppable. But I'm not as sold on the Thunder being plus 200. No, like if it was the Dodgers, I'd be like, yeah, well.
Right, that one makes sense.
That's a super team, you know? The Thunder certainly feel like that West, there could be three or four teams that have an opportunity.
Here's the thing with the Thunder, though, and I think this is what gives them so much credit, is there's a real case to make now after the championship win last night that Sam Presti, their general manager, is one of the best in professional sports.
I think so.
You know, the way he rebuilt that team, the way they just have asset after asset after asset for the next several years. They've got everybody under contract through 2027, if I'm not mistaken.
He did what they wanted to do in Philly.
Yep. Trust the process. Absolutely.
He did trust the process. And, you know, things are a little different for a team like OKC, who probably have a little more width or a little more forgiveness to kind of struggle through and get through and not reach the ultimate peak. But what they did is they got good and they got really good fast.
Yep.
And that sort of changes the perspective, and their star player manages to not disappear in the playoffs.
And maybe this becomes a dynasty for OKC. We'll see on that part. But what I'm focused on is the Eastern Conference, because I mean, obviously injuries play a role here, right? Damian Lillard tears his Achilles. Jason Tatum tears his Achilles. Now Tyrese Halliburton tears his Achilles. All obviously star players in the Eastern Conference. Will, no pun intended, you recognize some connective tissue between those three players in particular, and that is what?
They are all number zeros as well. They all have the same exact injury in the playoffs. Willalytics.
What? I'm not going to say what I said in the text message when he sent that, because we just spent time complimenting his parents. They're dumbalytics.
Yeah, it's dumbalytics. I agree.
Got it.
But I wanted Will to get his pop there. So the Bucks offseason is fascinating for obvious reasons, right? You have Giannis, and you have the Giannis angle of, okay, are the Bucks going to move on from Giannis and you know, try to pull a Thunder, right? Rebuild with assets. Or do they hang on to Giannis, which I think we are all in the same camp now that will be the likely way to go, right? Giannis will be a Buck in 2025, 26, and so on and so forth. And maybe this is a gap year where he can win the MVP and just go berserk and put up incredible statistics. And then in 26, 27, either Damian Lillard's back or you move on from Damian Lillard and you're able to maybe rebuild it a little bit different way. The news we got over the weekend was Pat Connaughton opted into his player option, which I view him as a trade piece likely in 25-26. I think it's just over a $9 million salary for Pat Connaughton, who likely won't see the floor very much in Milwaukee. You know, right? You know, game 82, sure, he can go off for 40 points, but I don't think games 1 through 81 he will be that big of a part of the rotation for Milwaukee. So that news isn't that big. The remaining questions we have are Kevin Porter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., and Bobby Portis Jr. A lot of juniors on the Bucks. And will they be back in Milwaukee? If they are or not, how do the Bucks change, right? Is Jericho Sims a good enough Brook Lopez replacement to actually make a run with him as your starting big? There's a ton of questions for the Bucks and what their roster looks like in 25-26. But I guess when I look around the East, Joshy, and I see all the injuries, Tatum, Halliburton, obviously one in Milwaukee with Damian Lillard, the Bucks need to find a way to make some sort of a splash move this offseason. It doesn't need to be a bona fide superstar, but it certainly needs to be a more than a role player, right? A complimentary piece around Giannis that is your clear number two with no Damian Lillard. That needs to happen. I just don't know how they can pull that off, whether that's free agency or via trade, or how they are able to put those pieces together. But the Bucks need to find a way to add a significant piece around Giannis. Not to the effect of Damian Lillard and what that trade was two seasons ago, but somebody that could be a second scoring option, can play, 75 games and help turn this team into a top five, top four seed in the Eastern Conference. Because right now it feels like, it's the Cavs, it's the Knicks, and then maybe the Magic as the top three in the East as it stands right now?
Yeah, I mean, the East is in a weird spot right now, obviously, with those three stars missing time. The people who are a lot smarter than me certainly say the Bucks do have the ability to maintain or keep some of those players and then still out and go out and add talent. I don't really know what that looks like, but it's certainly... they're not in a spot where it's sort of just punt fully on the season. And when you see teams like the Pacers and the Boston Celtics in spots where they're probably going to have a hard time replacing their big talent, because, I mean, those are the two best players. Some would argue Jaylen Brown. I don't know if that's really the case. But those teams are still going to be fine, but they're not going to have one of the three best players in all of the NBA, two best players probably, as some would call it. And that means you're likely going to have an opportunity to make the playoffs and do something in the playoffs. Because when you look around, if you avoid those top two teams for a round or two, you can make a playoff run. Mm-hmm. You can certainly continue to get better and figure out a way where, who knows, somebody could emerge or become a bigger role player than you originally expected. And then you have a real opportunity to at least not have it be a fully lost season.
Yep.
Because that was the gap year thing was something that's been talked about before. And I don't think, especially with the way things have shaken out, that you even really need to call it a gap year. It's certainly, you're not one of the favorites to win the championship.
No, definitely not.
But you seem almost certain to have the ability to make the playoffs. And I think that's good enough, and as the Pacers showed us, even if you don't look like the strongest team, who knows, things might end up going your way a couple times throughout the postseason, well, until Game 7. but even that would be... a loss at Game 7 of the Finals would be... I'd be happy about it. In terms of I expected today to where you could possibly end up.
Yeah, if I offer that to you, you're saying yes. Right? I mean, that certainly exceeds the expectation that anybody has for the Bucks in 25-26. But that's just where my head goes. And I think I don't want to call it urgency, because I don't think one move all of a sudden catapults you into the favorite in the Eastern Conference, especially with what you have on the books for next year, right? You're going to be without Damian Lillard, if not the entirety of the season, the entirety of the regular season, with a return in the playoffs, possibly, for Damian Lillard, given the average timeline of an Achilles injury. But you still have one of the best players in the world, and you don't want to view this as a wasteful year. And I think that's certainly a point that's been brought up a ton in this Giannis saga of whether or not they will move on from him, is can you make it not a wasted year? And what that means, obviously, well, you want to be able to be at least in the conversation for a championship. And with what the Bucks have on paper right now, I still think they're on the outside looking in, but they're still a playoff team. Right. If you have Giannis, I view you as a playoff team no matter where you are. But as the Kevin Durant domino falls, and that kind of eliminates Houston from the Giannis contention, despite what some of the national publications are peddling on social media, Giannis, I still believe, will be a Buck. It's just a matter of what you're able to gear up around him, because there is an opportunity now in the East with all the number zeros out of action with Achilles injuries in Jason Tatum, Tyrese Halliburton, and Damian Lillard. So That's that on that. Josh, I have a dumb question for you real quick before we get to Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Why has there been so many Achilles injuries recently? I saw this tweet last night that the NBA broke its all-time season high with eighth Achilles tear of the season. The previous high was five back in 2014-15. That total also doesn't include Thanasis Antetokounmpo, who tore his in the offseason, or prospect Jalen Moore, who was injured in a recent pre-draft workout. So really 10 basketball-related Achilles tears in NBA settings this season, between last offseason and now. What's going on here? I know you're not a doctor, but that seems odd.
I think there's some pretty clear points you can point to. I don't think there's one specific reason. I think there is, with the way basketball is played, the more back and forth nature, the increased movement you see on both sides of the ball. Sam Decker tweeted out the average miles covered per 82 games over the past 20 years. It was a number below 1,300 miles. It is now today up over 1,500 miles, and that's not like on a per 82 game basis. Mm. So simply more usage.
Ah.
The more you use any of your ligaments, muscles, etc., are going to strain them more and cause more injuries. I also think the hyper level of specialization in sports and repeated movements and sort of taking your bodies to its limits as much as possible to be in peak physical shape would make it more conducive to suffering injuries of those natures. And then I also think it's like just the level of athleticism, and the human body is only capable of doing so much.
You're incredible.
What?
You're just a smart fella. I knew you'd have an answer for me.
Yeah, I think it's just a...
Do the shoes have anything to do with it? Because I've seen that theory floated as well. A lot of players wearing low tops versus the high tops that used to be so popular.
I certainly wouldn't wear it out because at one point, the high tops that were popular were Chuck Taylors, which if you've ever seen a high top pair of those, it's just a thin piece of canvas.
Right.
That really isn't any sort of relative...
I don't think that's support. Preventing you from tearing an Achilles.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it is just... As you get bigger, stronger, and faster, your body is more prone to suffering injuries like that because you are, like, for a while, basketball players didn't strength train. It was like, remember Michael Jordan had to decide to get in the weight room after getting beat up by the Pistons? Like, that was sort of normal, and there were certainly guys doing it at the time, but weightlifting wasn't such a regimented part, and it's just overuse. You see it with, like, youth baseball players a lot.
Sure.
And the fact that I think it's good for you to play multiple sports and strain muscles and ligaments in different ways instead of the same way over and over and over again.
Have you ever shopped at Bass Pro Shops?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, Josh wearing a Bass Pro Shops hat and I just realized it.
Yeah.
Okay. Big fisher?
I enjoy fishing. I typically don't do it often, but if I've got time and somebody says you want to go toss a line in, I'll go out.
Go toss a line.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you should toss a line. Good bonding experience.
We could do that.
My grandpa, big
fisherman. The good thing about fishing, you got to be quiet.
Yeah, that's why I was about to get to that.
Yeah.
So my grandpa, big fisherman, doesn't have his boat anymore, but used to have his boat and would take us to Pembine every year in northern Wisconsin. And I went once, and that was all
I was allowed. That was the last time you said?
Yeah, that was the last time I went. And it was not me that made that rule.
I could imagine.
That was Grandpa Strofe who said he just doesn't shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
Which, still accurate.
Yeah.
Not much
fishing
has changed.
Nor hunting seem to be your specialty.
I've never gone hunting. I've gone fishing quite a bit.
Yeah, the whole, like, having to be quiet for long stretches of time.
Not my specialty.
Not your game.
Not my forte.
Where me, I could sit in utter silence
I
for
say, that
forever.
Sounds incredible. I feel like I should actually take up fishing.
It's a good spot for both.
It's also partially why, even though you're typically golfing with somebody, there's a lot of time where you're not talking. You're just kind of out there.
Golfing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a yapper.
Yeah, you certainly have conversations, but, you know, you're driving in between your ball, you're lining up to take a
Will
shot.
Will you ever go fishing?
Here and there, but going back to your point on the quiet game, I had a friend that was really big into hunting, and I asked him if I could go because I was interested in deer hunting, you know, sitting up in the blinds that are up in the trees, and he was like, no shot. You have to be quiet, and you're not quiet, apparently. So
no, that's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fits for both of you, too.
Yeah, that makes sense. I wouldn't argue with that. Okay, speaking of not shutting your trap, what a weekend it was for Caleb Williams, the Chicago Bears quarterback.
So we had that Achilles topic on there. Did you plan for that to go a different direction, or you just wanted me to answer it and move on?
I thought you were going to call me dumb.
Oh.
That was my plan there.
No, I think you could have gotten to the answer yourself.
No, I couldn't have. Okay. I needed your assistance.
Gave you too much credit?
Yeah, correct.
Gotcha. I thought you had like a point that you were going
to... No, I saw that tweet and I was like, wow, I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I had to ask him his plan. We're going to go behind the scenes here. He brought that one up and I was like, wait a second. What are we doing here? Normally I let Strofe do his own thing as the producer of the show. That one we had to get a full rundown there.
I thought you were going to give me your theory.
Well, the sneakers play a role. No, it's players. I think it's players playing through calf strains.
We've learned that any sort of lower body injury in that way, it makes it more possible. Even which people don't want to connect the Dame because he had the DVT.
Yep.
But it is not uncommon for players who have an injury in one leg to then injure the other one because you are compensating. And you might not consciously be doing it. It could just be weakened muscles. But when you have to try and meet the same, you know, explosion or force, you would therefore strain the other one who's trying to attempt to compensate.
Okay. Got it. Well, I'm very glad Giannis didn't play through calf strain.
I mean, at this point, if I'm an NBA agent and my guy has any calf,
you're not touching the floor.
No.
Yeah, no.
I understand Tyrese in this instance. It's game seven. It's do or die. You are going to miss a season, but how many game sevens can you say you're ever going to be in your life?
I'd be curious to hear, maybe not today, but down the line.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have many regrets.
I agree with you 100%. Because you can't sit out of that game.
Right, and he's not going to get paid any less.
Right.
As a competitor, you just cannot. Like, would you ever be able to live with yourself if you didn't play a game seven when you could have?
I'm sure the medical staff and the people around him told him of the potential risks, and he accepted them. And I don't think you can... With even hindsight, you don't have regrets.
No, I mean, the moral of the story here is, despite how much Tyrese Haliburton and specifically his father made us angry in the last few months, you feel for him because it was an epic performance. It was superhero-like for him, you know, down the stretch in the postseason. And to go out that way just stinks for anybody, right? You never root for injury in this sport. I was rooting for the Thunder to win the series, but I wasn't ever rooting for Tyrese Haliburton to get injured, and that just sucks. So, and obviously gives them a hit going into next season as they play without their leader, but is what it is. Okay, let's get to this, because I couldn't keep my eyes off of it this weekend. Chicago Bears quarterback Caleb Williams was all over the country this weekend, and everywhere he wound up, he somehow was talking about the Packers. And we'll get to my takeaways on it. But I just want to fill you in on the weekend that was for Chicago Bears quarterback Caleb Williams. It started Friday morning at Fanatics Fest in New York City, which was just this massive event. It seemed like every face and star from every league, from NFL to MLB to NBA to WWE.
It was an event totally not done to try and go viral and get social media views. That
definitely
was not what they were doing.
Definitely not.
Livy Dunn actually knew the price of Paul Skeens' card and what it sold for, and that wasn't rehearsed, and they didn't shut down all the other vendors to let her film in peace. That's not what happened. Nor was the Kevin Hart thing where he was selling cards of only short basketball players, which then Muggsy Bogues, I believe, popped up in. Yep. That wasn't rehearsed, and they weren't paid to do that.
Josh, you act like the internet is all completely real and nothing is staged.
No, but they were trying to make it not seem that way. I know.
Yeah, I was making the joke.
It was an attempt at virality.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Let's try this again. So Caleb Williams was at Fanatics Fest in New York City.
What I said also pertains to this.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the setup was, right? I don't know if he was asked a question about Packers fans, if he was asked about his win in Green Bay to end the season, what the setup was.
I think you could just say Packers to Caleb Williams.
And he'd say something.
Right, and because he knows why he's there.
Right. So he was asked in some capacity about Packers fans. Here's what the Bears quarterback said at Fanatics for us to New York City on Friday morning.
Probably at Green Bay. I mean, they suck, but it was after the game, after we won at Lambeau, 1-0 at Lambeau right now. So obviously you try and do the Lambeau leap, and we actually tried to jump in the crowd where our fans were. And they just, I mean, they start throwing everything at you, they push you off, and the Lambeau leap, it's a real leap. It's not a little baby jump. You actually have to high jump, basically. And then, you know, they're pushing you, mushing your face.
Mush in your face is such a great line from the Bears quarterback, who I guess is surprised by a reception at a visiting field when he tries to do the other team's tradition. I really don't get how he's confused by the way he was treated and the way Packers fans reacted after losing to the Bears at Lambeau Field, but I guess that's neither here nor there. Then Saturday, Williams back in Illinois at Summer Smash, which is a three-day music festival in Bridgeview, Illinois. This video taken Saturday night, I would assume before future headline Summer Smash. And, well, this clip speaks for itself. Here's Caleb Williams in the midst of a bunch of Bears fans at a music festival that is much inferior to Summerfest.
Green Bay! Green Bay! No! Green Bay! Green Bay! Green Bay!
Green Bay! Green Bay! Green Bay! Green Bay! Yes, sir!
Yes, sir! As Caleb Williams very masculinely yells, ah! In the middle of this chant at a music festival where Future is headlining. I just don't
shout
understand.
Out Pluto.
What's that?
It's a shout out to Pluto.
Shout out. Pluto.
That's a nickname he goes by.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm not really in the future verse.
I like how you still shouted him out, though, even though you didn't know what you were saying.
Yeah.
Shout out.
I'm sure we'll shout out anything.
Yeah, I will. That's super accurate, actually. I'm a big shout-out guy.
Shout-out Caleb Williams?
No, not in this context. I struggle with the idea that this guy finds what he's doing endearing. And maybe it is to a loser fan base like the Chicago Bears, who haven't won anything in Caleb Williams' lifetime, who are still the last place finisher in the NFC North, even with a win at Lambeau Field for Caleb Williams. Who
will say it
for the sixth year in a row have won the offseason in their fans' minds. Is he embracing the villain? Is he embracing the heel? Is he embracing being the little brother? I guess I'm struggling with figuring out the end game for the Bears quarterback, who seemingly the Green Bay Packers live rent free in his brain, just like they have every other failed quarterback, which Caleb Williams will inevitably turn into.
1-0.
1-1.
No. 2025, 1-0. 1-0 Lambeau.
I mean,
I've just listened to Will say this to me for months every time. Maybe I'm not going to be playing along with you well enough here and not joining in your diatribe on the Bears.
You love calling my rant a diatribe.
Yeah. I like calling it that because you get offended by it every time, so I just keep saying it.
Yeah. Right.
Which is not meant derisively. It's just sort of something I'm saying.
Go ahead and write that one down, Will.
The Green Bay sucks, or bleep Green Bay, that is just a derivative of the Bears still suck, which happens all the time. You'll hear it randomly at AmFam Field. So that I don't take a whole lot of offense to, because I don't think Caleb turned to the crowd at this venue and started doing that to them.
Oh, I bet. No, you know what I think? I think Caleb Williams tapped some of these bozos at random at Summer Smash and said, "Hey guys, you know what we got to do? We got to do a Green Bay sucks chant or F Green Bay chant."
I don't think that's the most likely case.
I do.
I think once they chanted it back in him,
Did you see how much enjoyment he got out of it?
Well, yeah.
He goes,
he's having.
Yeah!
He's having. That woman just saw you do that and turned and looked horrified to the man walking behind her as you screamed. I think they started doing that to him and he joined in, and he's at a concert where he's having some cocktails and having fun, and he's getting nothing but glad-handed and tapped on the back and told how great he is. So it is what it is to me. It's just something that happens. Now, I've never seen Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers join in on any of those chants that may have been chanted at them in the past, because let me tell you, I guarantee Jordan Love has had
the opportunity.
Yes. So maybe that's a little bit different, but I'm not offended by him doing that. You can do whatever you want. Ultimately, the rivalry happens on the field, and you guys got one of the last, like, 12. So good for you. Just know that any behavior off the field will certainly make it to the Packers' eyes and ears, and they will rub it in your face if you don't play well.
I'm a big believer in bulletin board material. I don't know Matt LaFleur's theory on this,
philosophy on this. I don't think it needs to be, but they saw it. The guy saw it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it'll come back up. Don't worry.
Yes, and they will make comments about it.
Hey, I will give Caleb Williams credit for something that came out this weekend, though. He was at Summer Smash. He was spotted dancing with actress and model Madeline Klein. And it is being floated. She's from Outer Banks, played Sarah Cameron in Outer Banks, if you've ever seen that show. I'll give him credit on that.
I don't know who Madeline Klein is, nor have I ever seen Outer Banks. But I imagine she's a good-looking celebrity.
She is. Yeah, yeah, very much so. Objectively good-looking. Yes.
Yeah, that was where... And then back to the first one. That's... I mean, Aaron Rodgers... Now, granted, he had a long-stated history of dominating the Bears.
Yes.
But he also never hesitated to take a shot at the Bears when he could.
And he still does.
Right. And there is a difference, obviously. He certainly wasn't saying those things 10, 11 years ago.
Agreed.
But he's also the same guy who did a belt and said, I own you. I effing own you.
But that was in the heat of battle.
Right. But he then, every chance he get, like...
He think Caleb Williams, if they get out...
He enjoys taunting Barstool Big Cat. About being a Bears fan.
Yes.
Like, that's part of his enjoyment.
But that's done as shtick and fun. I don't mind the heat of the battle stuff.
You don't think what Caleb was doing was a little shticky?
Oh, for sure it was. But I don't think he's earned the stickiness, is my point.
That's
Aaron Rodgers earned it.
Isn't that more just like a cultural and generational thing?
Meaning what?
That young guys are more likely to not worry about... Have I earned this right, or should I be doing this? Versus, this will go viral and look epic online, so therefore I'm going to do it.
If that is the mindset of a first overall NFL
draft
pick,
the one thing I've noticed about younger people is they have no shame about talking and sharing things about themselves and making themselves appear bigger, better, and more important than maybe they actually are.
Okay, now I have to ask it because I think I fall into the younger category.
Yeah.
Did you just describe me without describing me?
No, I was describing pretty much everyone in this industry who's on the younger end. I'm on more on the, I don't care, I'll talk about myself. I'll share my content because I think I'm doing good work. Now, some of the people I've met throughout it, and knowing and working in this industry as sort of we've evolved with the video stream and all that, people don't love sharing their own work. Mm. And I think that's like largely a generational thing.
Okay, interesting.
I think like the older generations are much more reticent to share those things and, you know, talk about myself, promote myself. Like, I still have it, though, when it comes to talking to my camera. You'll do it at any time.
I will. That's true.
And this doesn't apply to you. This is people who I just like see in everyday life. Like someone will just whip out their camera, walk down the street and talk about to themselves, which is somewhat to an audience eventually. But to me, that watching someone take a selfie to me is like seeing them nude. That to
me is, you're very anti-selfie, I've learned,
which is something. If I were to be caught doing that, I would feel the same amount of shame as if I was pantsed in public.
Oh, okay.
And that is not this, like, you'll see kids on the side of the road just dancing, filming, and there's no shame.
Yeah.
It's just different.
There's a lack of shame. That's for sure.
And I don't think you should be shamed. I don't think one side is better than the other. It's just a difference.
Yeah.
And I think that applies to, I mean, college athletes, they're filming. Football players are filming stuff that I don't think Brian Urlacher would think highly of if he was in the same locker as you.
I was going to say, I have regularly, because of working on our Prep Mania coverage here in Madison, will regularly get like other high schools like posting things and stuff that I see players posting after like winning games. I'm like, there is no way anyone, even my age, would ever have been caught doing something like that. So it definitely is a generational thing.
But here's the thing I struggle with for Caleb Williams. And this is why I never had a problem with Aaron Rodgers doing it, because he didn't do it until later in his career. Like, sure, during the rivalry week, would he take a shot at a rival? Yes. And again, if Caleb Williams did that, I don't have a problem with it. I have less of a problem with Ben Johnson taking a shot at Matt LaFleur in his introductory press conference, because that's at least the time and place to do it. For a guy entering a second year after getting his head coach fired in his first season, it's not... I just don't think it's a good... Yeah. I don't think it's a good optic for
him. I tend to agree with you, but I don't think it matters anymore.
I also think you're... Like, think back to the past Bears quarterbacks. If you go Justin Fields, Mitch Trubisky, obviously Jay Cutler. Like, none of those guys have the personality of like, oh, I'm going to go out and do stuff and I'm going to be in public. Caleb Williams is just the type of guy that he's going to be out and about and you're going to naturally see him more.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get mad at him? Is that a fact, though, that Green Bay Packers fans suck technically against him? He's 1-0 against the Packers fans. That's just a stat. Can that be bulletin board?
In this calendar year.
I said that.
Josh, are you feeding Will lines just out of curiosity?
No.
We were talking about Bears quarterbacks when Hunter was
listing them off. He listed Bears quarterbacks, and I just, in his ear, said, shout out Kyle Orton, who was one of the funniest-looking quarterbacks in the history of the...
That's a good take by you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good take by you.
Yeah.
The Nick Foles era.
He actually wasn't an awful quarterback.
Not terrible. Certainly not good enough to win
But he was okay in Denver. He was okay in
His
Chicago.
Sleeves were hideous.
Yep, I would agree with that.
And he made it hard to look at him. And he had that special, stupid face that when things aren't going well for you, your face makes it worse.
Who's your least favorite Bears quarterback?
I
think mine's Trubisky.
I don't really have ill feelings. Like, I love Jay Cutler because Jay's going to Jay.
Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky, he was such a non-factor.
Yeah, but I just never liked him.
I was...
Is he still in the league?
Oh, yeah. He's a backup somewhere, right?
He was.
Probably.
Is he in Buffalo?
He might still be in Buffalo.
Josh still Allen's in Buffalo. Wedding.
Was he?
Oh.
Yeah.
For Mitch.
Yeah,
he's still in Buffalo.
I was going to say, Rex Grossman has to be the answer. Because just purely as a football fan...
Success.
Like, had he just been, 5% better as a quarterback, they win that Super Bowl. They get back to another one with it. Like, there's a level of like they would have been a really good team if he was remotely competent at quarterback.
That's true. It's a good point by you.
Of course it is.
So anyway, that's what Caleb Williams did this weekend. There you have it.
Yeah.
Dork.
I would much prefer the my quarterback to take the high road and sort of just laugh at that and not join in.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, but I don't particularly hold it against Caleb.
Well, I disagree, and I can't wait till week.
Because I think if 11? I were in Caleb's spot, knowing I'm a millionaire, everyone thinks I'm going to be great, and people started chanting F Green Bay at me, I'm joining in, especially after a couple pops.
I can't wait until Will's birthday is ruined.
Mm-hmm.
And my birthday is made. Both Bears Packers games occurring on each Will's and my birthday. I think mine is first, right?
That would be objectively hilarious if it went my way on your birthday, the Bears won, and then the Packers won on my birthday.
Well, so my birthday's in Green Bay, your birthday's in Chicago.
Yes.
So I would prefer me to be happy both times.
I mean this with full disrespect. I could not give a bleep about your birthdays lining up for Bears Packers. Couldn't care less.
I think it's time to move on. Brewers have won 7 of their last 10.
Including 4 in a row after the rain out on Wednesday at Chicago. They wrapped up there what ended up being a 2-game series in Chicago Thursday with an 8-7 win. Friday, Jacob Mizorowski on the mound. Unbelievable again. Has a perfect game going into the 6th. Had a no-hitter going into the 7th. And gets a huge win. And to be honest with you, I think the only reason he didn't throw the no-no is because he was waiting for so long.
Yeah, I believe it was 20 minutes.
25.
Yeah.
Brewers win 17-6 on Friday in Minnesota, win 9-0 Saturday in Minnesota. And then it got interesting yesterday afternoon, but they're able to sneak it out. A 9-8 win for a series sweep against the Twins. over the weekend. They've won 4 in a row, 7 of their last 10. Pittsburgh comes to town this week. And Wednesday, in the final game of that 3-game series, a 1:10 first pitch broadcasted on MLB Network from AmFam Field. Jacob Mizorowski, Paul Skenes. Debatably, and maybe not even debatably, the two best young pitchers in the MLB. Going toe-to-toe for the first time.
Yeah, that's going to be must-watch TV. I think Mizorowski himself has made it must-watch.
Yep.
He's pitched 11 innings and given up one hit.
That's correct.
He has 2 wins into his career, 1 hit surrendered. The only player, I believe, ever to have that achievement. It throws absolute gas regularly over 100 miles per hour. He made that poor Minnesota Twin look like it was the first time he saw a pitch that moved.
Yeah, when he just dug that dude into the ground
on
Friday. Yes,
like corkscrewed him.
That was crazy.
That's not something you see often. That's rare talent. I do think there will be games where people can get to a young pitcher. Everyone's still learning about him, trying to figure out his tendencies, all that. The cat and mouse game that happens as you get more and more film on you. But stuff like that, typically, you don't get figured out in your first year. We talked about it on Saturday and on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He went from, after his first start, the 5 no-hit innings, he was plus 1,200 tied with Chad Patrick at the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Now, you change those numbers, look around where he's at today. He's at plus 175. He leads all of the National League for the most likely to be the Rookie of the Year. That number is down from the plus 900, I believe it was, just last Wednesday. So in less than a week, those numbers tanked. He's impressive. Also, the story, Christian Yelich, playing baseball out of his mind.
Out of his mind all of a sudden.
Which you see it happen. And it's not a coincidence that he's playing that well and the offense is playing that well. He's sort of the engine that drives the whole thing, especially with where he's hitting in the lineup. And it seems like the Brewers, a team we were extremely worried at the beginning of the... as worried as you can be after 4 games. They did historically have a run differential that we hadn't seen in, I believe it was a millennium.
Yep.
So There is a level to this team where they look a lot more complete than you anticipated. And it's a little different because the bullpen is fine, average, maybe above average, which has always been the Brewers' strength in this run since, 2018?
Correct.
That's not the case anymore. It's largely on the efforts of the lineup, which can hit home runs, but can score runs. And then the pitching.
Not the hardest hitting team. I think they're probably like bottom 7 or 8 in home runs overall for a team. But stolen bases, they're number 1 or number 2 in the National League and number 2 or 3 overall in the entire league. And to your point, this offense has just found a way to start hitting baseballs. Christian Yelich playing really good baseball right now offensively. Been DHing most of the season, but playing really good ball. Offensively for him, Rhys Hoskins has gotten it going a little bit. Even guys like Joey Ortiz, who haven't had a very good season offensively, have come on as of late. But there has been one constant the last month plus, Joshy. One constant offensively, had another kind of dramatic catch, but fun catch in game 3 against the Twins yesterday in right field. That would be Sal Frelick. And it has come to my attention that phase 1 of All-Star voting comes to an end on Thursday. You can vote up to 5 times per day at MLB.com/vote. And I hit the pavement today. I'm campaigning. I think it's legitimately earned, but I do think a campaign is necessary. Sal Frelick should be an All-Star for the Milwaukee Brewers. Odds are Freddie Peralta, every team gets an All-Star. I think Freddie Peralta likely has that in the bag. Trevor McGill probably has a really good case otherwise too, the closing pitcher for Milwaukee. But if we're looking at position players, Sal Frelick still leads the NL in terms of all outfielders and batting average at .298, which, I mean, it's good. It's just not earth-shattering numbers. .298. The thing I find so impressive about him is he has only struck out 40 times this season in 272 at-bats. For reference, Bryce Terang, 281 at-bats, has 31 more strikeouts. That's 9 more at-bats, 31 more strikeouts. Christian Yelich, 278 at-bats. That is 6 more at-bats than Sal Frelick. He has over double the amount of strikeouts, 84 strikeouts on the season. He only has four home runs, 30 RBI. He has scored 35 runs. I think offensively he's been really good, but there's gold on that glove for a reason. He's been that good defensively as well for Milwaukee. So we are launching the Sal Star 2025 campaign today through Thursday. Make sure you get your votes in. MLB.com/vote. Hunter, did you have the promotional flyer that I made up ready?
No, you didn't send it to me.
Oh, well, that would be an issue. I can rip one off the wall real quick.
He said he would send it to me, decided not to send it to me.
Didn't do that. Here's the informational flyer I made. It says Sal Star. And then it says, vote Sal Frelick to MLB All-Star Game. Visit MLB.com/vote. Vote every day this week. And then on the bottom, it says, we appreciate your support in this urgent matter. Sincerely, Alex Trove, president of Sal Frelick Fan Club. So make sure you get on that. Will, you've already voted, if I'm not mistaken?
Yep, 5 times.
I have also voted 5 times. Joshy?
I'm doing my first vote here. Interested to see if Sal will make the cut.
Isn't that kind of the whole idea here?
You're pushing. You didn't ask for my opinion before starting this campaign.
I didn't think I needed your opinion because I thought you would be a Brewers fan and vote for Sal Frelick and maybe just vote for
all
the
Brewers. I'm a merit-based voter.
Okay.
I take voting seriously.
Well, if you
just don't throw.
Well,
out.
It's nice. The MLB All-Star website actually does this thing, Joshua, where you can sort position groups by certain statistical categories. If you go down to outfield and you click batting average, just let me know the first name that pops up.
Will, did you know it was 1994?
I did not.
That seemed unnecessary.
I must have missed.
Are you an OPS guy?
I'm WAR, OPS, OPS plus, the advanced stats, the stats that tell you truly how.
Sal Frelick, like 5th on the team in OPS.
Ooh.
Behind Jake Bowers, who's only played in 46 games, Christian Yelich, Reese Hoskins, Isaac Collins, who, by the way, boy, has he come on as of late.
Great weekend.
He's been awesome. Big
crushing
week.
The ball.
I mean,
they needed him too.
Hit a home run in both games in Chicago, played really well in Minnesota. Isaac Collins has been awesome for this team. And then Sal Frelick after him in terms of OPS. So, all right, if you feel like supporting a great cause, MLB.com/vote. Make sure you vote for Sal Frelick 5 times.
So
let's get him in the All-Star game. He earned it.
I have a few other. Josh, what do you think about the name for this campaign, Sal Star? Because we had a few other names
Sal
that we
Star.
Didn't go with.
His name Sal, is Sal. Sal Star.
Sal Star. Sorry.
It strikes me as a name that could use some work.
All right, I have another one.
Well, I've got a list here.
Okay, we'll get to your list, but I have one more that I want to run past Josh, and I think it's my finest work. So we all know what I yell when Sal does something good, right? What do I yell?
Salvatore!
Good job, everybody. Thanks, Josh. Thanks for participating. I yell Salvatore.
Do you love asking questions that you could just answer yourself for dramatic effect?
Well, here's the thing. We're doing theater here, Joshy. We're doing entertainment. I'd like to get my guys involved. That's all right with you.
Yeah,
including
they got involved.
Yeah, but you didn't. And that's the part that irritated me. How about Salvastar? Salvastar!
That one's a lot better.
It's better than Salstar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Reprint the flyers.
I saved them. Yeah, Salvastar.
But that does share a name with a SoundCloud artist as well. So I also said no on that one.
I don't think they're going to come for us for that, would they?
Well, no, but we don't want people to get confused if they Google it. Gotta have something that
I've never heard
find.
Of that person. I can't imagine many in the audience would either.
But then if they're Google searching the campaign.
I don't see a Salvastar on SoundCloud. I see.
Here I am going through the All-Star voting process here.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to vote for Sal when you got guys like Ronald Acuna, Corbin Carroll, and Pete Crow Armstrong?
I'm good with Pete Crow Armstrong.
No, you can't vote
him
for
playing
a Cub.
For the team down south.
No,
that I did,
is
actually.
Not
I did.
Allowed.
Wow,
I voted for Pete Crow Armstrong.
Integrity,
Sal Frelick. Who are the other names you listed?
Corbin Carroll and Ronald Acuna.
I voted for Corbin Carroll, Pete Crow Armstrong, and Sal Frelick. Those are my 3 votes.
So you're leaving Acuna off?
I am.
Hmm.
And you voted for a rival. That's disgusting.
Okay, but I'm a merit voter.
You're not.
No, you're not,
voter.
Though. We just established
clearly
that.
Clearly not.
You're clearly a fake
voter.
Fan. You cannot vote for a Chicago
voter.
Cub to be an All-Star. Ever.
Hold on.
Ever.
I'm a merit voter. A merit voter. And I think the best outfielder in baseball this season has been Pete Crow Armstrong.
I don't care.
I think regardless of league,
you don't give him a vote. It doesn't matter.
All star. Him and Sal can be first time all stars together. The two best outfielders in the National League.
Strofe, your whole brand. We literally talked about this last week. Is that you are a fan? You act like a fan. That's a part of your appeal for this show.
Yeah.
A real fan would not vote for your team's biggest rival to have a single all star.
But Hunter, hold on. What you're missing here is that. I'm honored to be selected to vote for the MLB All-Star Game. I take that responsibility very seriously.
Because you have a computer and the internet. Great. That's a real high bar.
It's a responsibility I take very seriously. And I think I'm a voter of merit.
Clearly not.
You're not. You already said you were
the best outfielder in baseball.
Ronald Acuna is hitting .396 with 8 home runs, 15 RBI, and 1.2 EPS.
.396 batting average?
Yeah, he missed time, but he came in and then
So he just doesn't qualify for my statistics, then.
Do you want to bet that he ends the season with higher average home runs, RBIs, and OPS than Salvatore?
Where is he at RBIs right now?
He has 15.
Strofe,
so he's less than Sal
back.
There.
Don't take this back.
But you're saying it'll be an Acuna clean sweep?
Yeah. Of course.
I like my chances. I'll take the bet. I think Sal will win one of those categories.
No, you're an idiot.
Good luck.
Okay, fair enough. All right, time now for What We Missed, What We Learned, which is presented by our friends at Door County Distillery. You learn something every day. Sometimes you miss things. We miss things on the rundown. We get to those right now. Door County Distillery is the best. You're always going to miss it when your bottle runs empty. And the good news for you is you can get Door County Distillery all over the state, baby, whether in Milwaukee, Madison, Stevens Point, Green Bay. You can bring Door County Distillery to you if you're not heading up to Door County this summer. Their bourbon is terrific. It's affordable. It's really, really tasty. I'm currently working on the maple barrel finished bourbon. Had another glass last night during the NBA Finals. It is so tasty, so good. Just a couple rocks, and it is my favorite. It is my favorite bourbon in the state. So make sure you try that if bourbon's your thing. If not, graduation parties, tailgates, elevate it with Door County Distilleries, gins, rums, whiskeys, vodkas. All the in-betweens, brandies for your old fashions. They do everything great. They do a ton of local collaboration, and they are an awesome local business right here in the state of Wisconsin. Check them out, DoorCountyDistillery.com, and find the retailer nearest you on that same website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Why are you smirking at me?
I got a good one.
Uh-oh.
According to the Bigfoot Mapping Project.
Love where this is going.
Yeah, this is a good start.
On May 26th, in Chilton, Wisconsin.
Oh, boy.
There was a Bigfoot sighting.
Oh, my gosh. Chilton. We need to go up to Chilton.
This is according to the Bigfoot Society Instagram account. I see a man here with glasses, a red t-shirt, looking at a computer screen that is reporting a sighting of a Bigfoot in Chilton, Wisconsin.
All right, the home of the Tigers, Chilton. I mean, that's right in my neck of the woods, man. Wow.
Have you ever seen anything in your neck of the woods that you could think maybe could be attributed to the old Squatch himself?
I would just say that I certainly know there are some people in that neck of the woods that might appear like a Bigfoot, but I don't think it's a Bigfoot.
They grow big up in Chilton.
A few libations. Well,
a lot of farms up in northeast Wisconsin. You know, people get nice, big, and strong, and sometimes hairy, and sometimes that could be misconstrued. I've never seen anything, though, Joshy, but I am willing to go squatch hunting, just like Nick Herbig and Keanu Benton did in the Steelers schedule release video last month. By the way, I never watched all 32. I'm sad to report.
What a fraud!
Go figure.
You said you would.
I did it last year. I did it the year prior. I didn't do it this year. Also, one of them got deleted, so there wasn't even 32 to watch. So, anyway. Okay, so Sasquatch/Bigfoot. Those are different, right?
No.
They're the same thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody saw Squatch/Bigfoot in Chilton, mm-hmm. allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look into this, and I'll report back on Wednesday.
I think you need to do a Squatch hunting episode.
That's a brilliant idea. You would come with me, right?
No.
I'll gladly go. I'm so into this.
Okay.
You and
Will,
I love road trips.
I mean, Will would be good at this.
Sounds like
this,
a lot of
this is actually this is a great idea for Will to execute.
Just send Will on to the woods.
Send him and have him report live from Chilton.
This really makes me want to watch the old... Oh, I'm going to struggle now. Old nature video of the wow, that's neat.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
I think Will would play a perfect role in searching for Squatch and trying to do calls.
Wow, that's neat.
And shake up the earth a little bit here.
Well, before we get to your words that you missed or learned, what would your Sasquatch call sound like?
Sasquatch, please come out.
No, you can do better than that.
Come on.
I'd have to do some research.
It's closer to a Chewbacca, is it not?
Yeah.
I don't know about
that.
A
little
that.
More
that's
guttural,
like
but okay.
That would be fun.
How's that? Something like that?
Sure.
All right. What words did you learn today?
All right. We have libation, which was used.
Wait, seriously? I used that.
Both of you guys. Josh just used it. I don't know if this definition is right because it doesn't really make any sense. A drink poured out as an offering to a deity.
Deity.
That's what I said. Libation is typically like, you know, you're drinking beer.
You're having an alcoholic beverage.
The Thunder poured out a libation of champagne following their NBA Finals victory.
Sorta. You're on the right track. You could have just said they poured out a libation.
I think they enjoyed libations.
Yeah, a part of the issue here for Will is I don't think he knows what deity means. So having a word he doesn't know in the definition is going to make this
tough.
Considering
he did mispronounce it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Derisively in a manner expressing contempt or ridicule. Packers fans acted derisively against Caleb Williams despite his undefeated record against the Packers all time in 2025.
That's right.
That's good by you. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
That's the end of the list?
Words, yep.
Oh, we're getting better. Only two today. Josh, wow. Yeah, you got to step your game up or Will
has. That's a Monday.
Diatribe, he said it today, and I almost wrote it down, but I was like, you know what? I know what that means.
Yeah, he used it a lot.
I know what diatribe means.
Yeah, good for you, Will. Yeah, that's a little diatribe by you right
See,
there.
Thank you. Eventually, in a perfect world...
This segment's going to die.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Will's just going to be a smart fella.
There'll be a time where I say something, he goes, I know that one. We've covered this.
We're going to get there.
Maybe.
This has been a great addition to the show, though.
You know what word I used recently that everyone gave me looks at? I said erudite.
Yeah, no shot.
That's a fun one.
Try to mix it in on Wednesday. We're back with you Wednesday. No show Friday this week. Hunter and I are each going to take a day off.
I'm off, too.
You're also off Friday. Okay, yes. Good. You had nothing to do with this, but I'm glad you're letting us know. What are you doing?
I'm going to a wedding.
Oh, that's right. You told me this. You're very excited. This is your first wedding as an adult, right?
I'm pumped. Kind of nervous. I want to make a fool out of myself.
You will. Inevitably. Likely. Especially if there's an open bar. You will.
Likely.
So, Josh, we are not going to make you go solo on Friday. We are just going to take the Friday off, and we'll be back the following Monday. But we will be back with you Wednesday, beginning at 12:30 Central, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and, of course, in the all-new, brand-new, customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. Fun show today. Good stuff. We're back with you Wednesday ahead of Skeens Mizorowski at AmFam Field and my first pitch at the Lakeshore Chinooks game. Three epic pitchers in the Milwaukee area on Wednesday. What are the odds of that? Can't wait. All right, we'll talk to you Wednesday. Peace.